All right, this episode we have the one and only Jennifer Lopez. And I learned a few things in this interview. I know that you told me after, like, wow, that was really, really cool. I let you lead most of the way because it was a little strange for me. And,
yep.
And there were some awkward moments, which I think you'll see. But she's great. And she's a Presidente drinker.
She is a Presidente drinker. We went out to your house in the Hamptons. There was Presidente everywhere. I looked around. I was like, this is the perfect summer setting because it has Presidente beer. Presidente beer is one of our favorite sponsors. Presidente beer is good for a beach, a backyard, a couch, wherever you want to be. You need to be drinking an ice cold, refreshing Fria, Una Fria from Presidente. I definitely butchered that. With the title of Presidente Chairman, you know Alex knows this beer is a good bet. So what are you waiting for? Invest in your own refreshment now and grab the DR's finest export wherever beers are sold near you. And four lucky fans, we're giving away some amazing prizes. Presidente beer for a year, a signed baseball by yours truly and A-Rod, Presidente swag, and the Corp swag. And here's what you have to do to enter. You must be 21 plus, must be following @A-Rod, @A-Rod Corp, and @Presidente_USA on social media. And you text your name and why you should win to A-Rod's personal phone number, 305-690-0485, 305-690-0485, and you can win all that stuff. The beer is 100% Corp certified and approved. A-Rod, you're going to think that I am just sucking up right now, but I'm going to say it. This was my favorite interview of season three.
Yeah, she was great. And, you know, it was in our home, and I thought it was awesome. I couldn't believe how much she opened up. I mean, she's always very honest, but she opened up and she crushed it. I think this will be our most watched and most heard. That's
what I think. You know, obviously we had some great guests, and I loved all the guests in their own way, but there's something about J-Lo's personality, and Hank, our producer, and I, when we were driving back to the city, we both had that same thought of, it's infectious, mm-hmm. and the energy that she puts off just makes you want to talk to her forever, because she just had some of the most thoughtful answers, and she also smelled great, which I kind of ruined it at the end when I said that. But it was just so, so much fun. Did you, afterwards, when we left, was she like, why'd you ask me that question? Or, you know, were you in any trouble?
It's funny, when you and Hank left, Jennifer said, did he really say that I smell good? I go, yeah, that's Dan.
I was downwind, and she smelled great. And people expect me to say that when it happens. So it was an awesome interview. I'm so, so excited for people to listen to this. Before we get to the interview, our friends from Cross Country Mortgage, buying a home should not be scary. Getting a mortgage should not be a scary word. Cross Country Mortgage is the way to go, because Cross Country Mortgage is going to work with you personally. They're like a mom and pop shop. They've been doing it since 2003. A-Rod, how many mortgages have you had in your life?
I've had plenty. It's a great tool if you're smart, and Cross Country won't let you do dumb things.
Right.
So be smart with your mortgage, but also at the same time, it is a great time. They work very fast. They work virtually.
Mm-hmm.
Is not only buying a house, but is also refining a house. So
yes.
If you have a lot of equity, interest rates at an all-time low, so you're able to fix your rate for 5, 7, 10 years, and you get the benefit of a renter, but you own your own house, and that's where Cross Country can be a great partner to you. And if you've never bought a house, don't be intimidated. If you don't have great credit, don't be intimidated. Call. They move very fast, and Cross Country is awesome.
It's such a great point, because you don't have to be someone who, you know, you could already have a mortgage, you're trying to refinance. You could be someone who's never thought about having a mortgage and has bad credit. You can find out from Cross Country Mortgage if you qualify, and they will help anyone at least start the process. Whatever you're looking to do, they're very, very approachable. I think that's the best part that they have going for them, is that you don't have to feel intimidated. You don't have to feel like it's this big, scary process. Cross Country Mortgage is going to talk to you like a human being, and that's so important.
As a matter of fact, Dan, you, all listeners, everybody should appraise, what kind of mortgage do I have? And just test it, Cross Country, and see how your mortgage is compared to what they can do.
Yeah.
And you may run into a great deal.
Shop around. Yeah. It's a great point. Make sure that you are getting the most bang for your buck. So Cross Country Mortgage is the place to go. Like we said, if you're a first-time home buyer, military vet, or people or a person with less than stellar credit, Cross Country Mortgage has worked with everyone from every background, and they're here to work with you. They will do it fast, closings in under 24 hours. They will make sure that you are in the perfect position. And all you got to do is go to ccmlens.com/corp, ccmlens.com/corp to learn more about your future home buying experience. That's ccmlens.com/corp to learn more. ccmlens.com/corp. Cross Country Mortgage LLC, NMLS 3029, Equal Housing Opportunity. Go to crosscountrymortgage.com for licensing and disclosures.
All right, here we go. The boss, Jennifer Lopez.
You're listening to The Court, presented by Barstool Sports.
Okay, we have saved our best guest for last. It is no introduction, but we'll introduce J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez. I'm sitting next to your fiance.
Yes.
I have the distinct pleasure of navigating this interview. I don't know if you guys are going to get along, if you're going to
Who's going to lead this interview?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering that, but I'm very excited to have you.
Thank you.
Have you here on The Corp. This is going to be awesome. I'm very nervous.
Why?
I wrote down an icebreaker. It was going to be first question, are you still Jenny from the block?
Yes.
But is that lame?
It's a dumb question.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Well, that's a good start.
I basically pretended like I wasn't going to ask that.
No.
People might.
No, people, somebody might want to know that. Yeah. No, I think, you know, for me, I just always feel like I am. That part of me being born in the Bronx and that upbringing and being there till I was in my 20s. You know, is such a big part of who I am. And I guess that's why I tout that flag no matter where I go.
I love that.
That's from the song.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I didn't mean for that to happen, but no. It did. By the way, I talk with my hands. This is not going to work.
Yeah. I love that, though, because I think a lot of people...
Make an adjustment.
A person with your success could easily be like, what? Jenny from the block? No. Absolutely not. I'm totally different now. I got everything. No. You did the Super Bowl halftime show.
Things are different now, but... Who you are inside your mind, you know what I mean, never changes, you know?
Yeah.
That's who you are.
I like that.
So going back to the Bronx, you mentioned the Bronx. You played...
Here we go. The serious interview starts.
No.
And it begins.
Not at all. You played sports, and you claimed that you were a shortstop, and you played
track. First of all, I did not claim I was a shortstop.
Tell us about your game.
I was a star shortstop, just like you. We have a lot in common. I started playing softball when I was very young. I always loved sports. So I played, you know, I was a big tomboy when I was little. And always had my knees scraped, by the way, still do. I just love it. I always loved being active. And I played softball. I started Little League probably when I was 8 or 9 years old. And I was the shortstop. And I did have a nice bat. I did.
And had wheels?
For a girl.
Wheels.
I always had wheels. I wasn't like the fastest person, but more than that, I think I had the most heart, and that's what made me a good player.
I'm always curious. This someone who has the fame and accomplishments that you have. When you were a kid, did you think to yourself like someday I'm gonna do all this?
Yes,
you did.
I did think, which just sounds crazy.
No, but I kind of love that because it's. I feel like there's a lot of people who think that and then it doesn't work out. But it's like when you think it and then it actually happens.
Yeah, it actually happens. No, I always thought that something. I was always waiting for something special to happen. You know, in my life, I grew up in a very regular neighborhood in the Bronx. You know, I used to go, like, mom used to give me $5. I used to go buy eggs and milk. And you know what I mean? It was just, like, a very regular upbringing. And I used to play in the street. But, like, I'd be sitting in church. And then I thought the priest was going to pick me to do something. Right. Or somebody was going to talk to me. Like, God was going to talk to me. Or something. I don't know. And I would have thoughts like that. And I always knew from very young, too, like when I would watch TV or watch movies, like that I wanted to do that. I knew I wanted to do that. And I felt like I was going to do that. I had no idea what the path was there. But I knew somehow, some way, I was going to figure that out.
So follow up to that, what was the moment can you remember it when you said, I've actually achieved this, I've made it, the quote unquote made it, like, this is actually my life now?
Yeah. I think there was different moments. But I think probably one of the biggest was when I was, ooh, somebody let one go over there. excuse you. I think the big moment, I had just released my first album, so I had done a few movies already. I had was traveling in Europe. It was the middle of the night, so I was jet lagged, and I was promoting a single. I don't know which one it was, and we were just over there. And I was in this big, beautiful hotel suite by myself with my girlfriend from the Bronx, who was my assistant now. And I just picked her because, not that she knew how to be an assistant, but she was just hanging out with me. And we were both there, and she was dead asleep. And I'm walking around this hotel room, and we were performing at the MTV Europe Awards the next day. And so they had, like, all the costumes out and all the shoes and all this stuff. And as I walked through the room, so I went from my bedroom into this big living room, into this other room where they had set up, like, glam, the table and everything, and all the shoes were there. And it was, like, shoes lining the whole entire room. And I looked, and I was like, I grew up with, like, holes in my sneakers. Like, when did this happen?
Right.
And it just kind of hit me, like, oh, my God, like, I have a lot of shoes. Like,
yes, yes.
I can wear any one of these shoes, and none of them have holes. When did this happen? It was just like the symbolism of that, because I remember, like, my foot always scraping, like the ball of your foot. You know when you wear down your sneakers when you're young? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that only happened to us. I would always remember the ball of my foot on the concrete, like just as it would break through. And then just standing there in this room full of clothes and shoes and never thinking that would ever be my life. But thinking in that moment, like, wow, when did my life get to be this?
Yeah, that's a great story.
When you think about your talents and, you know, you go from businesswoman to fashion, acting, dancing, singing. Tell me one or two characteristics that you got, positive ones, from Lupe and one from David, mom.
Oh, wow.
And dad.
Oh, that's a good question, baby. Baby, you're so good at this.
Thank mm-hmm. you, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You are so good at this.
I like this. Usually I suck up to him.
No, because, you know, I've done 1,000 interviews. So whenever I hear a question like I've never heard before, it's always very impressive. One positive thing from my mom and one positive thing from my dad. I think my dad was, there were opposites. My mom was kind of very outgoing, as you know, life of the party person. And my dad is very quiet. And I think, you know, I have a lot of both of them in me. Mm-hmm. And I think my dad, being calm is a superpower. I got that from him. Like, he could really, and I realized that in show business, that is something that is paramount. Mm-hmm. You have to know how to, like, stay calm in very high pressure situations, whether you're in front of 20,000, if you're at the Super Bowl performing, or if you're, you know, on a set somewhere, or if you're in an interview that gets a little hazy and everything's on the line. Like, you have to be able to stay super calm. Like, it is a real superpower. And I think I got that from my dad, who, you know, is very much like that. From my mom, I think, you know, I got, if there's any such thing as the it factor or star quality or anything, I got it from my mom. Lupe should have been a huge star, you know, because she has that charisma, that thing. And I think that I got that from her.
So you mentioned being calm and you mentioned the Super Bowl. I had that written down.
Yeah.
First of all, it feels like, I don't know, 10 years ago?
7,000 years ago.
Halftime show.
Yeah.
Were you calm in that moment? Were you nervous leading up to it? I mean, that is the biggest stage for a performer, the halftime of the biggest game in America.
Right. It is the biggest stage in the world. And leading up to it, I think I was more nervous than on the day. You know, for me, preparation meets the moment. And I was so prepared that in the moment, I was just like ready to go. It was like a thoroughbred in the gates. It was just like, please let me out of the gates. Please let me go. But I stood there. And I also get very calm. Again, that's when, like, David, my dad, kicks in, and I'm just, like, standing there waiting. But leading up to it was probably the most nerve-wracking, and Alex can attest to this, high-stress moments of my whole career.
Right.
I could never have imagined it would be that stressful. And I think it's because everybody understands the weight of it and the fact that it is 100% live and 1,000 different things could go wrong. And so people feel that, and everybody you work with feels that, and everybody's on edge, and everybody's like at each other's throats and things like that. So it was pretty intense, but I love the people I work with, and we literally got so much closer from doing that show than maybe anything in the past 10 years.
So yeah. when you do a show like that, are you a perfectionist after the fact? Like if you maybe miss like a half a move that someone watching on the couch wouldn't even know?
Yeah.
Do you beat yourself up about it, or are you like...
Yep.
You do?
Yep.
So it sticks with you?
Yep.
Because I thought it was a great show.
Thank you.
Did you make any mistakes?
Thank you. I didn't make any mistakes.
Not one?
I didn't make any mistakes, thank God. But, you know, it went off honestly without a hitch. But I always feel like I could do better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always feel like I could have done this little piece better or that little piece better. Or, you know what, that piece of hair was in my face or something, you know. I should have done this or I should have done that, always.
I don't know how this is perfection. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I've never seen you work harder. And you're right, it was a stressful time, but you handled it as usual like a champ. I'm wondering, Emmy.
Yes.
Our little baby girl.
Our baby.
I mean, were you more nervous for you or for her?
Well, here's the great thing about being a mom. When your kids are involved, you're more worried about them than you are about yourself.
Yeah.
And in that moment, putting her in the Super Bowl really worked for me. Because I'm watching her the whole time in the sound checks and in the rehearsals. We only had two on the stage before we did it, which they usually have 3 days. But for some reason, the grass there wouldn't allow it because our stage was too heavy and blah, blah, blah. So we didn't get all of the rehearsal that we wanted on the actual stage. But on the night, I remember, like, you know, she walked out with me and all I was doing was monitoring, like, is she cool? Is she okay? Is she going to be all right? Is she going to freeze? Is she going to freak out? You know, and once we got to the edge of the stage and I saw her so happy, she was so at ease. I was so proud. And I was like, okay, now I can just concentrate on myself for a couple minutes and do my thing.
That's awesome.
And it was good. That but was you were awesome. There. You that were on the was, sidelines with us.
It was perfect.
Alex, we should ask Alex how he felt.
Yeah. Were you doing selfie videos?
Well, no, I did a selfie video. Yeah. And all my friends said, Alex, were you on drugs?
Yeah.
I mean, I was acting so crazy. But to me, it was also a release of stress for her. We went to the gym that morning. And I was driving her, and she was talking to me. I was ignoring her. I was like, I'm not getting in the way of anything. It's your day. I'm focused. We'll talk Monday. And she's like, you can still talk to me.
So we're not talking today? That's what's happening? And he's like, no, I'm, you know, you're in your zone. I'm just like, I'm trying not to get in the way. I'm like, okay.
How long does the adrenaline, like, stay pumping after a performance like that?
Dude, after that performance, it stayed for, like, an hour and a half at least.
Really?
You know, and listen, we didn't go to sleep till like 6 a.m. that night or something. It was crazy. And usually after a 2-hour show, if it finishes at like 11:30, I'll be up till like 3 or 4. 2 to 4.
Yeah.
But that one, I felt like, oh my God. It's so much energy coming at you from the stadium itself, but also from the whole world, it feels like. And you feel it, like you can garner it in a way. As a performer, you can kind of take it all in and give it back. So in that sense, it was exhilarating. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, doing the halftime show, must do. But put it on your bucket list. So you said that you like when you get asked questions that you don't usually get asked. You might not have been asked this one before, but so like when I walk up 2 flights of stairs and I try to talk to someone, I can't. Right. How do you sing and dance at the same time? Like, well, how does that work?
It's a stamina thing. It's a stamina thing. It's just like anything. You kind of have to train yourself for it. And after years and years of doing it, you learn how to do it better, where to push, where to hold back, where you can kind of, you know, relax a little bit. And you find it. You pace yourself out. And also in the rehearsal process, as you do the show, sometimes you get too ambitious and you go, you know what? I can't sing here if we do that. I have to take that out. And I do a lot of dancing in my shows. So I always want to balance it. I always want to make sure that they get, you know, all the song they want, but they also get all of the, you know, performance that they want too, like dancing wise.
So unfortunately, I think the answer is hard work.
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right. So I'm out on that. I'll just keep being out of breath when I go upstairs. Dan, that's fine.
I've always wondered this, and, you know, Jennifer is such a kind of multitude of talents. My question is singing, dancing, acting. Mm-hmm. Which one do you think is your number one superpower?
It would be hard for me to pick between performing live and acting. You know what I mean? Because when I'm on stage, I really feel like I'm my best self. Mm. Like, that's where I was meant to be, and I feel really at ease up there. And not only do I feel at ease, I feel like the best person I can be in my life as a human being, that's who I am when I'm up there. Mm. But I think a lot of people, some people would say that acting is my biggest talent, if you're going to, like, measure them. But I don't know.
I give you a tip?
Yeah.
You just say being a mom.
Being a mom, just leave it alone.
Easy. Yeah, yeah. So easy.
And everybody buys
that. Yeah, and everyone's like, and oh, my God,
it's so
sweet.
I come off looking like, yeah, like the sweetheart.
Oh, your number one super talent.
I'm sorry. I won't answer the question.
Can we talk real quick about the possibility of you being the first woman owner of a sports franchise? I heard a couple things in the news.
Yeah, I mean, listen, in this day and age, that would be something that would be so amazing. I don't have anything to report on that end right now, but I think in every field, especially institutions like Major League Baseball, or, you know, that are so American in this moment in time, it is important for diversity, and it is important for women to have positions of power that they've earned and deserve, and can contribute in a way that is just as good as any man on the planet, you know? So, of course, I am for it. Nothing to report.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Would you hire me?
For what?
Anything. I'll push myself right now.
Sorry,
I think I would be great as just a guy in the clubhouse. No real job, just hanging out. Like, just cracking some jokes.
Do people get paid for that?
Would you? I mean, there's going to be clubhouse
like,
guys.
Actually, yes.
Like, yeah, that actually is.
Actually, in
wait,
baseball.
He's like, wait, do you have sunflower seeds in your pocket? Okay, yes.
Mascot.
Yeah, okay.
It's
Mr. Med. I just want to just hang out. You know, just kind of be a hangout guy.
A hangout guy?
Yeah.
Alex has some of those. You could be one of Alex's.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe Nick if I get into baseball.
Look
at,
don't
if
do
I
that.
Get into baseball, maybe I'll need one. Yeah, I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do that. All right, well, I'm going to say that's a maybe.
Okay.
And
you're going to leave space for that.
Yeah, I'm excited for the future, what could happen there, because I agree with you. It would be a fantastic story.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
You know, one thing is, you know, Jennifer, you haven't driven, like actually driven a car in over 25 years.
Yes. Is this one of the questions?
This is one of the questions.
Either
yeah.
one of the two questions.
So, I mean,
he's
I have
to.
Driven a car in scenes in movies.
Yeah, and so
does that count?
No.
Tell us about a story when you were probably a teenager, and I think it was your uncle, and you were kind of foreshadowing the future.
Yeah.
Tell us that story.
No, I told Alex years ago. He's like, why don't you, you know, when we first started dating, like, why don't you drive? And I said, you know, I don't have to. <You
know? laughs> That's
like,
a great answer.
He's like, I said, plus, at a certain point in my life, in my career, okay, let me go back. So when I was younger, I had an uncle who passed away, who I love, my tío negro, and he loved cars. So he used to, like, mess around with cars and everything. And he was like, you know, are you going to get your license as soon as you're, like, 15? I think in New York you can get it when you're 15, your permit or whatever. And I was like, no. And he goes, what? Why? Every kid in New York can't wait to get their permit and drive. And I said, because I'm not going to need to know how to drive. I'm going to have a driver. And he always reminded me of that. My whole life, even to up when he passed away, and I told Alex that thing. But I got to a point, I was always a bit of a workaholic. And so I would always take projects back to back. And I did drive at one point when I first moved out to L.A. And I was working all the time as a fly girl. And then I started acting. And then I started doing films. I was driving myself. And then back to back to back at 5 in the morning finally, I had to start asking for a driver because I'd fall asleep at the wheel. And I was, like, going to get into an accident.
Wow.
And you haven't been driving since.
And I never drove again.
Okay, so that's a good segue to my next question. Workaholic.
Yes.
You've done it all. Is there going to be a point you think that you're going to be like, I'm going to chill out and I don't have to keep doing this. I don't have to keep go, go, go. Or, like, what is the next 10 years of your life look like? And will you be just pushing, you know, as hard as you have for the last 30?
You know, I fantasize about a time that I don't work.
Right.
Right? But I think in reality, it's not really who I am. But I do think the quarantine has made me realize that I do need more balance in my life. And that's something I've been leading up to for the past few years anyway. Where I was like, okay, I need more balance. You know, I don't have to work as much. I have to do less. And, you know, Alex coming into my life was a big part of that as well. You know, when you have a real partner, you can kind of go, okay, you take the reins for a little bit. And then I'll take them. And then we'll pass them back and forth. And, you know, you be with the kids and I'll be with the kids. You know, so that part has helped a little bit. But the quarantine and this time and spending so much time with the family and still being very productive and getting a lot done made me realize, like, there's a different way to work. Maybe I wasn't working in the best way that I could have for what's really important in my life, which is my kids and my family.
Yes. Number one.
Because you think you're doing great. You're like, I'm doing great. I'm working. I'm a working mom. I work all the time. And I take care of my kids. And my kids are happy. And this and this and that. And then during this time, we were together. And I realized, wait, they need me more than that. They need me. They don't need just this. And you realize I could do better.
Yeah.
I can actually do better. And even though I was doing okay, we were doing great, we could do better. And I think that's the goal for me in my life is always like, how do I do better? How do I get better?
I like that. Because I think that I've not to the same level as you because you work probably a million times harder than I do. But having a son and being able to, like, be at home for 3 straight months and seeing, like, every little step.
Life-changing.
You know, he turned one, and it's, like, every little step. It's, like, oh. Like, if I was, I would take moments and be, like, well, right now on the calendar, I would have been.
Right.
On the road. I would have missed this. I would have missed that.
Right.
Like, this is kind of cool that I can be more in tune with, like, the day-to-day things.
Exactly. And you realize, like, the conversations you're having, or even us, like, me and Alex, we were, like, having dinner every single night with the family. It's such a big deal. It's such a game changer, you know, because we had discussions and conversations that we didn't know some of these things were on our kids' minds. You know what I mean? Like, you just go through life and they're doing their activities. They're, mm-hmm. By the way, they're just as busy as we are. Like, we have to scale back on their stuff so we can see them because they go off and do their own things. Like, that family time is crucial and sacred and we need it. And I think this whole reset of the world was a lot about that, mm-hmm. I think.
We've got more J-Lo coming up in a second, but before we get to that, Simply Safe. I've been talking about Simply Safe all season. I love Simply Safe. I love Simply Safe because Simply Safe sets you up to make sure that your home is secure, your loved ones are secure, and it takes no time and it's no hassle and it's the best out there because there's no tricky contracts, no high prices, and no lousy customer support. So while there are a lot of options out there to protect your home and loved ones, there's really only one no-brainer, and that is Simply Safe. Simply Safe's got everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional home security. It's got an arsenal of sensors and cameras to blanket every single room, window, and door tailored specifically for your home. And professional monitoring keeps watch day and night, ready to send police, fire, or medical professionals if there's an emergency. You can set it up yourself in under an hour. Just peel and stick the sensors exactly where you need them. No technician required, and there's no contract, no pushy sales guy, no hidden fees, no fine print. All this starts at just $15 a month, and I'm not the only one who thinks Simply Safe is great. U.S. News & World Report named it the best overall home security of 2020, so go to simplysafe.com/corp right now. You get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. So there's no, you just get 60 days for free. Try it, see if it works. I guarantee it will. And if it doesn't, you have no risk. So free shipping, 60-day risk-free trial with simplysafe.com/corp. There's nothing to lose here, guys. That's simplysafe.com/corp, simplysafe.com/corp. Make sure that your loved ones, your possessions, your everything are protected with simplysafe.com/corp. Okay, back to J-Lo.
So, Jen, going back to the Jenny from the Block, you're 21, 22, even younger, 18, 19. Who were the people that inspired Jennifer Lopez? And it could be singing, dancing, actors, actresses that really moved you.
There was a few, and I could even go further back than that. You know, when I saw the movie West Side Story, that changed my life. I was very young, and we'd watch it every year. And every year I would become inspired to do movies and to sing and act and dance, right? And then I go to, like, when I'm 16 years old and I'm, you know, listening to Madonna every day, you know what I mean? Or however old I was at that time. And, yeah, around 16 and 15 and seeing her run in the park and realizing that, you know, it wasn't just about being a singer or a performer. It was also about, like, being in shape and being driven and the ambition of that, and, you know, and then different things beyond that, mm-hmm. right? Like other performers and actors.
Like,
and
who?
Like Tina Turner, like Janet Jackson, like James Brown. Just their energy for me was kind of how I feel on stage and what inspired me to do what I do on stage. It's a version of that, to be honest, in many ways. And then in acting, it was people like Meryl Streep, you know, Robert De Niro, Marlon Brando, like, you know, watching, you know, epic performances. Even Linda Hamilton in Terminator, you know. I remember sitting in the theater watching her and how she had transformed for that role, how she was a different kind of actress. But when she took it to, like, always taking it to another level is something that people don't do all the time. Mm-hmm. And when you see it, and you see it in front of you, and you see somebody take that effort and do that, and it works, and you're like, fuck, badass bitch, like, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to do,
Did T-1000 give you nightmares? No. Gave me nightmares. The bad guy from Terminator?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no.
When he does, like, the walk,
I don't
run.
Remember his name was T-1000.
Yeah, when he does the walk, run, and it's like, how can you get away from this guy? And then he melts and all that stuff.
I know.
That movie's crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. Yeah. I mean, I always ask, I try to get into A-Rod's head about, like, well, who his inspirations are for baseball.
Yeah.
And I think everyone who's had success has been inspired by someone.
Oh, you have to, right? You come up, you see something, it touches you, it moves you, it never leaves you, you know? And then you just go building upon that.
But even now, you're always studying. I mean, Dan, one thing about Jen is that she's always working. Even when she's not working, she's studying, she's reading a book. She's always self-improving. I've never been around someone whose work ethic matches her curiosity and is a lethal combination. I'm wondering, like, from the younger people out there, and there's a lot of talented people, anybody that jumps off the page for you that has a lot of talent?
Oh, my God, there's so many right now. I mean, on the singing side, I love Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's super talented. It's not just her beautiful voice. It's her spirit. It's her comedy. It's her, you know, her ability to do different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love seeing that. Billie Eilish.
Emmy loves her.
Emmy, my daughter, loves her. We had a real moment at the Billie Eilish concert. I was like, oh, my God, we're bonding right now. It's amazing. And I love you.
And she started crying. She was so excited.
Well, also, to see her react, like, I was just on tour, and so she was on tour with me. And right at the end of the tour, we went to go see Billie Eilish. Billie Eilish started her tour. And so every night I was doing meet and greets with my fans, and they hug you and they cry and they love you. And you're used to, like, you get used to it. It's like a beautiful thing. It's, you know, my manager, Benny, always jokes, like, that's my favorite part of the show, because I love meeting the people afterwards and hearing them and stories and all that. And then I watch my daughter freak out over Billie Eilish. And it was like, I was like, like, because she's my daughter,
right.
Like, we're just regular people,
right?
And but I, when I'm working, I don't know. It was like a weird kind of, like, 3D vision of myself.
Yeah, out of body, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she walked in the room, Billie Eilish, after the concert, and my daughter goes, and I looked at her, and I'm like, what's the matter? You know? And she's literally the tears, because since she's 8 years old, now she's 12, she's idolized this girl, and for whatever reason, her songs and the words she says, she connects to, and she loves her style, and, you know, whatever it is, moves her. And I was like, oh my God, like, it made me think, like, oh my God, my fans, is that's why they're crying? Like, I don't, mm-hmm. you know, you feel like, I don't know, like, I never, it never connected until I saw my daughter do it.
Right.
And it was, I'm not articulating it well, but it was a mind-blowing experience for me. It made me appreciate, you know, what I do more, my fans more, my, you know, what Billy did for my daughter, you know what I mean? Like, all of it was like a full circle moment. But yeah, we love Billy.
You mentioned that you've done thousands upon thousands of interviews. What's the question you hate being asked the most? And is it this one?
Is it this one? No.
No, okay, all right.
No. It wasn't that one.
Okay.
I don't like when people say, you can only do one thing.
Uh-oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, take that one off the list. Yeah. Right. You can only sing, or you can only act for the rest of your life. Choose one.
I just, what, this what is like choose?
The antithesis of who I am as a person.
But if you had to choose.
No, I wouldn't.
Come on.
No, that's the thing.
I mean, right. But what would you?
But I don't have to.
But if you did.
But I won't.
Acting or no singing?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Dancing?
I don't. And everybody asks that question. It's like you wait for it in every interview.
So what you got to do right now is just answer it right now.
I have answered it in 25 million different fucking ways.
Okay. All right. Well, here's a question you probably haven't been asked again. Am I going to get invited to the wedding?
You know, it hasn't come up.
Like, where am
I? We haven't discussed it yet.
Right. I feel like we're doing better than the... So let's actually go back to last time.
When you were in my refrigerator? I'd like to officially
apologize for that on behalf of Alex, because it was his fault. We were taping a bunch of stuff in your home in L.A.
Oh, I saw it.
Yeah. And you were coming home, and Alex said it would be really funny if we... if Jennifer walked in, it was just you and Hank in the kitchen, and he hid. Eating ice cream, and you walked in, and I've never been more scared for my life. Yeah. So, apologies for that. How mad were you? Like, I thought about it, like, we got back in the car after, and we're like,
I don't think I was mad in that moment, but I was kind of surprised, like, what the fuck? And then... when I saw later that you were like pouring chips or doing whatever you did on my pool table,
yep,
or on my couch or whatever, uh-huh, then I was pissed.
Yeah, you had every right. We got in the car after and we're like, actually thinking about that, like, Jennifer probably just got off like 12 hours of work, walked into her home, and a stranger was eating ice cream out of the container in her kitchen.
Yeah, just doing a bit. And I was
not the smart, you know, not our smartest move. That's okay. Yeah. But so I think we're doing better now.
This is great.
Yeah. So now would you say wedding? I don't know. I don't know.
I'd have to talk, you know, I have to talk to the boss.
I would settle just for the bachelor party, by the way.
There is no bachelor party.
I'll throw the bachelor party.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have your
credit
card.
You're not coming to the
wedding. That's fine. The best friend you can be is to be invited to the bachelor party and then skip the wedding. That's great.
That's good.
Yeah, the fun
That works
friend.
For you?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Sign that right now. Yeah. Okay. So I'll just mark it down that I'll be ready for the wedding whenever you guys want me to be there. Have you guys announced a date?
We will in season 4.
Oh, great tease. That's a great tease.
I got a little lightning round.
Yeah, let's do it. Yes.
And then I know you may want to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so lightning round, I'm going to go with favorite movie.
West Side Story.
Favorite color.
Green.
Brazil or Morocco?
Brazil.
London or Ibiza?
Ibiza.
LA or New York?
New York.
Vegas or Africa?
I actually enjoyed my time in Vegas.
Jeff Lee wrote this one. Yeah. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
TikTok or Instagram? Ooh.
Depends on the day.
Mm.
Gotta pick one.
Really?
This is the corp.
Let that be the teaser for this interview. Mm-hmm. I would say, I'll say TikTok for the dancing.
All right. And if this, if you had one meal, one last meal, what would that meal be?
Hmm. I would probably want my mom to cook rice and beans and chicken.
Nice. And then last one of the lightning round at the corp. Describe these people with one word.
Oh.
Ryan Seacrest.
Driven.
Leah Remini.
Crazy.
Ice Cube.
Solid.
Vinny Viola.
Vinny Viola? The Don.
Michael Rapoli.
Michael Rapoli. In one word? That's not easy.
Mets.
Amazing.
Last lightning round. Dancing or singing?
No.
You gotta pick one for the rest
no,
of your life.
I would throw my shoe at
okay.
you.
All right, I do have two last questions. Two last questions. The first one, if you were to acquire a baseball team, what's the first thing you'd do as an owner?
I think besides all of the stuff that you would do to let everybody know that you were there to win, I think I would really try to understand the community around. Like, really, I feel like everything in New York starts in the neighborhoods. You know what I mean? And I think you have to, like, really familiarize yourself with who your core audience is, who's going to be there all the time, who your real fans are. That, to me, the fans are always the most important thing. And everything you do, because it's not just sports, it's entertainment. And you have to, everything is in service of the customer. Everything's in service of the of your fans.
Okay, well, if that does happen, hypothetically, yes. I have the perfect guy for you. I know the most miserable Mets fan in the entire world, my friend Kevin. So I will have a one-on-one interview. He will just bitch and moan about the Mets for, like, however much time you have, and then you'll learn everything about it. I swear to God, it will be great. All right, my last question. Has Alex gotten better at texting since the first text from the first date?
It's only been up since then. Okay. Everything's been great
okay.
since then.
Okay.
Thank God.
So he's a good texter.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is a good texter.
Yeah. I mean, I text him. I always yeah. think he's prompt.
Yes.
Always responding.
Responsive.
Weird times. I text you like at 2 a.m. sometimes.
Yeah. It was weird when you did text me that you look sexy AF.
He texted
me. Yeah. To me. And I was like, okay. But no, yeah. He's very always. Yeah. He's always on the go. When he texts me, there's been many times where I've woken up and you've been like, quick idea. And I look and I'm like, it's fucking 4 a.m. What? Why do you have an idea at 4 a.m.?
I know.
That's kind of why
I think when I met Alex, I realized, and we were together for like a year, I was like, oh my God, this is what it's like to be with me.
Yes, it's perfect.
We are the same person in many, many ways. And work ethic is definitely one of them. I think that's what made him one of the best baseball players of all time. It was his work ethic. I believe that is a thread amongst all of the greats. You have to put in the work.
So pretty much what you're saying is your kids are going to be like presidents and everything, because it's like,
I hope they have the same work ethic.
With the work
they
ethic
have their
in,
life
yeah.
is a little bit easier than
by the way
true.
By the way, we're the true like underdogs. Like, we are like David and a Goliath world. I mean, we didn't go to college, we lived the American dream.
We both grew up with holes in our shoes.
New Yorkers, holes in our shoes. And if we can do it, then all our listeners are, all our viewers can actually do it. And that's what we hope to do, is to inspire the next generation.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
This has been awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
Welcome. You did good today.
I'm not as nervous as I was to start. That was probably the most nervous I've been in. I interview people for a living. That was the most nervous I've been probably in like 3 years.
Thank you. So. This because ever since you did that in the kitchen, it was like I'm your mom.
Yeah. And it was like, yes.
Mom's coming.
Also, I might ruin it with this last statement, but it's also, you really smell really good.
Thank you. So, thank you.
Like, you always do.
Good. And I'm like a downwind right now.
Yes.
So.
Okay, it's time to end the interview.
Yeah, okay, all right.
It's about that time.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.